Welcome to Rugby League World Cup Radio with Winnie and Clarky. It's the quarterfinals preview edition. I'm Jake Wynn from the Tripod. We've had over 8 years of free winning rugby league tips, and he's Clarky for Clarky's Column. He's done 2 years better than that, 10 years of free rugby league content nearly every day. I hope you guys are enjoying our show. We've done three, been through the group round robins. Now we get to the business end. It's all elimination games, starting with quarterfinals. Obviously, less games to talk about. We can go a little deeper, but it still probably will be a shorter show. We hope you guys are enjoying it. We hope we're coming through all right. We'll try and do our best with audio and video and not drop out on you at all tonight. So let us know if you're enjoying the show. And Clarky, yourself, mate, I hope you've been enjoying doing this with me each week.
Yeah, mate, it's been top, so I've absolutely been loving it. I'm actually hoping we can continue it into the NRL season. You know, you've reached out to me a few times with these sort of offers, and I've always just been, a little bit short for time. But when you offered this time with the Rugby League World Cup, I was just so keen to get involved with this. As you said, you got an amazing community behind you. You're dedicated every week you're doing this, mate, and it's a real pleasure to be here with you.
Oh, thanks, Matt. I can say all the same to you. So hopefully people are enjoying it. Hopefully this show is a nice companion to the World Cup, to your enjoyment. Not all the games have been that close. I think we'll bring that up again before we get into these ones. But as well, we share a few tips, and the tips have gone all right. I'm trying to think my record so far on sides. Something like, I don't have it right in front of me, it's something like 10-6 to like 10 winners, 6 losses with the line, which is okay. And we've won 2 out of 2 of our mixed matchups. We did get up by over 40 points with the $2.15 tip last week, which was Lebanon to score more points than Fiji. Fiji only putting up 30 against Scotland, and Lebanon over 70 against Jamaica. So that was a nice, easy winner. And as I said last week, Clarky, we talked about the theme, which was a lot of blowouts. It continued in the third week of games. And I think the stats will say that now that all the group games are completed, the average margin of victory was over 40 across all the games, which is pretty big. I think every single game was a blowout last weekend after we got quite a few good close games in the first week of the World Cup. It has taken away from the enjoyment a little bit for me. I wanted to bring it up again, my proposal, because you put it to people on your social media and we've got a lot of people's feedback, so I thought we could kind of talk about, I still think this would have been a better solution, that you have to tier the World Cup. There's too much of a gulf in talent. So my proposal, have all the top 5 power sides in one group, then the next 5, and then the next 5. Clarky, the biggest disagreement against this proposal was probably people saying that the smaller sides will never improve if you don't throw them in with the big boys. I kind of disagree with that because I feel like they actually will improve by getting more competitive matches. So what were your other thoughts now that you've had another week to digest it and to take on board what other people have suggested? What are your thoughts on the big disparity in talent and a lot of blowouts at this World Cup where we want it to be a great spectacle for the fans?
We definitely do. And I think watching round 3 of the regular World Cup, it really only strengthened my view on this. And I still definitely agree with you. And for people that say that the only way to improve is to play the big boys, that's true. But you want to be playing them on the back of some confidence, on the back of actually being able to trial some of your attack, on the back of actually being able to build some consistency against people at a similar level. And so the example would be like, you know, if the Titans and Tigers played each other 10 times, they're probably going to improve by the end of that period. But if you put them against the Melbourne Storm 10 weeks in a row, we're just going to get out the end and say the exact same thing. And so I think that the key to this would probably be a suggestion that the Welsh coach come out with today, John Kerr or Keir. He basically come out and said that if we want to take rugby league internationally serious, and we are serious when we say we want to grow the game, what we need to do is shut down all domestic competitions around the world at an agreed time, such as Super League, NRL, and then the top competitions in your Greece's and smaller countries in this World Cup like that, and come together for an international window where within that fortnight or week or month, whatever it's decided, it's just international footy. I think that's a really great idea. I can see why the NRL would not be keen on that at all. They don't make money during that month. It's completely separate to them. It's got nothing to do with them. All they're really doing is putting their players out and risking injuries to decrease the profit of their competition. But if we can come to an agreement with the NRL Super League where they can agree that in the long-term interest of rugby league, yes, the short-term sacrifice they will make it to release their players for a window each year, I think that'd be a really great step to being able to, like you said, have these nations consistently play each other and be able to trial and learn and grow, as opposed to Jamaica losing 62 points to New Zealand. I don't think that teaches a side much.
Now, I agree with that. More opportunities to play together is going to help some of these sides at a big disadvantage because they get so few internationals. But I think no matter what, these bigger countries are always going to have a bigger pool of talent. Australia, England, New Zealand. And now we're seeing Samoa and Tonga emerge, which is awesome too. So they're always going to be way better, even if teams like Greece, like Wales, get an extra match here or there through the years, to be fair. So I still think that we just have to be real and say, let's tier our World Cup system. Let's acknowledge that. People say, well, if you split the groups up with all the powerhouses in one group, you're still going to end up with some blowouts in the knockout rounds. Look, you still are, for sure. And we've got four quarterfinals to discuss, and there's probably going to be some blowouts in these quarterfinals, but you get less of them. I think it was a bit on the nose for a lot of fans the last couple of weeks. Like, are you really getting up early to watch teams win by 50, 60, 70, 80 in some cases? I just think less of that and more sides of equal ability playing each other is a win for the fans. That's why I suggested it that way. But it's a good discussion. Anyway, before we do touch on the quarterfinals, Clarkey, I wanted to get your performances of week three. And you can tie that in general with anyone who really impressed you over the group stage overall. While you're talking, I might put up your team of the group stages as well. But who stood out to you?
First off, I'd have to say England. I mean, a 94.4. I mean, I know Greece isn't the stiffest competition, but just looking at that game there, I mean, I've personally never seen anything like that. 17 tries. Wow. Like, that's it. That is so dominant by England. I believe last week I sat here and said I think they'll take their foot off the pedal a little bit, and I actually liked Greece. I think I did cash out the bet, but I think I had them at plus 67 or something like that. And at the time, I thought that was a really great bet. In the end, I'm glad I cashed that out. Second pick would be Lebanon. I did tip them to cover the line of 40 points. I thought they would cover that quite comfortably, and they were quite impressive when it came to taking on Jamaica there. And third, I'll go another team this week. I'll go Tonga. Because a lot of people did expect that to be a bit more of a closer game with Cook Islands. And with their captain, Jason Tomalolo, coming back, they just really shown what their potential is. Realistically, they are a class above a side like Cook Islands. They probably are a class above a side like Papua New Guinea currently. And also in week two, Wales. But they didn't really show it in week one and two. Week three, they've finally shown that they are the real deal, and it's led them up for a massive matchup against Samoa in this first elimination round.
Yeah, that's the one that everyone wants to talk about. It's actually the fourth of four. I've got, of the four quarterfinals, I've got one match I particularly like for a tip. I've also got another mixed matchup. We haven't lost one this World Cup. I've got one that involves all four games. Just looking at your team of the tournament so far, one guy, Jamin Jolliffe, he seems to be the only player in that 13 who's not in the competition anymore representing Ireland. I think everyone else represents a nation that did advance, but you gave a shout-out as well to some teams that were competitive along the way, like Wales. To me, PNG, I've seen a few comments about PNG. From a punting perspective, PNG were the only country that if you backed them with the line every week, you won every week. So they covered 3 out of 3 games. So well done to them for that. That shows that they have exceeded the market's expectations and done really well because, you know, that Tonga game, that line was way too big. They didn't win all three, but they covered the line, and then they covered the line the next two games where they were favoured, including absolutely destroying Wales. And I suggested Wales might be able to keep that game a little bit closer. But again, this PNG side who face England this week, they've been extremely stout, extremely physical, and extremely impressive. And then Samoa. I took notice of that victory because France are not a bad side. And I want to shout out a tip I gave 3 weeks ago, a month ago, Taylan May, to be the Samoan top try scorer. He has only played 50 minutes in this World Cup. He picked up 4 tries. We got a Taylan May sighting. If you watched the game, you might have noticed they were calling him Tiny May. And he has four tries and he is now the leading Samoan try scorer, as crazy as that is, despite not even getting to play in the game that they put over 70 points on Greece. So that has a huge chance of winning at 15-1. And the other outstanding performance, I will say, even if I do say so myself, our mixed matchup. Once again, we went against Scotland. They earned some pride after getting blown out the first two games. They only lost by 16 to Fiji. They held their own. And Lebanon exceeded Scotland's total points before the half-hour mark of their game against Jamaica. And that was despite playing without Jacob Carraz. Now, let's jump into the games, which begins with Lebanon, and they play the Kangaroos. But let's just get some intel from the market with a little bookie perspective, thanks to our show sponsors, Top Sport.
Hello, everyone. It's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport, and we're finally into the knockout games in the Rugby League World Cup. It was a hard last round where all the favourites were won in a very lopsided fashion, and the punters were way too good in that week of the tournament, with a lot of punters malting up a lot of the minuses and a few taking the shorts as well. So that was a pretty ordinary finish to the tournament, but as we touched on in the first video, round one was the opposite. So it was an up and down tournament for both us and the punters over the course of the 3 weeks. But we get into the good games now, where Australia take on Lebanon, and maybe have picked a slightly different side to what a few people had expected. They're very firm favourites. That line opened at 42.5 and it's still sitting there at 42.5. The England PNG game hasn't moved either. It's been 32.5 throughout the entirety of betting, same as the Kiwis game. The push, though, has been for Samoa. That's gone 5.5 and we're into 4.5 with a little bit shorter now, the plus. So that game looks an absolute beauty with Tonga taking on Samoa. I think at the start of the tournament, with Samoa being short favourites against England, or firming favourites against England, we were expecting a different quarterfinal there. So that's probably been the biggest change in the market. The outright betting now sees the Aussies still a very firm favourite. They are $1.40 now. New Zealand $5, England $6. They've been the biggest movers from the start of the tournament. Samoa out to 26. Whoever wins out of Tonga and Samoa, they're going to firm up significantly. All the others will stay about the same as they are expected to win. So good luck if you're having a bet over the weekend. And as always, gamble responsibly.
Again, Tonga, Samoa, cannot wait. But that's Monday morning. The quarterfinals kick off Saturday morning, Australian time, with the Kangaroos, 42.5 point favourites over Lebanon. Clarkey, take this whatever direction you want. But the biggest talking point has been that the Australian lineup has been announced today. And what do you reckon about how they will start the game?
Well, that's actually my first note that I was going to discuss, is the fact that it appears Australia are just treating this as if it's another just regular round. They certainly haven't named a side to me that indicates, hey, we're in the finals now and we're naming our best 17. A few really, really strange ones. Isaiah Yeo at back row, I don't like that particularly at all. Cameron Murray has shown he can play back row very efficiently. And in my opinion, Isaiah Yeo, whether it's the Blues, Panthers or Australia, the middle just looks better when he's on. He can just be that link man and just, you know, let them create the extra numbers out wide with his slick passing game. So I don't particularly like him relegated to an edge. The other big one, of course, is Daly Cherry-Evans. I don't think a lot of people expected him to start. News Corp newspapers yesterday reported that Nathan Cleary had all but won that seven role. And then we look at Nathan Cleary. I mean, he's on the bench with Jack White. I don't see why we need to carry two halves. So a few very, very strange decisions. Ben Hunt, an exclusion as well. Just going off the form from the group stages, we have a 34-point win over Fiji for Australia, 84 over Scotland and 60 over Italy. And for Lebanon, they lost to New Zealand by 22. They then rebounded against Ireland to win by 18 and defeated Jamaica by 62 points. The obvious tip here is Australia, but I actually do like Lebanon at that plus margin. I do think in the first half, we'll see a scenario where Australia will be the better side. It'll be obvious that they're going to go on to win here. But I think they'll probably go into halftime, maybe up by 10, 12, 14. I can really see Lebanon holding their own in the first half. From there, I do see Australia kicking on in the second half and really dominating this game. But I could still see a world where they win 38-10. Something that's not exactly dominant. And the reason why I'm making that prediction is, for Australia, I do think it's going to be hard for them to be solely focused on a game where they're $1.01 favourites, when they know in all likelihood next week they'll be facing New Zealand, which is essentially their final. So for that reason mainly, I do really like Lebanon at that plus 42 amount.
Yeah, we talk about that in punting as a look-ahead spot. Like, all your focus is actually not necessarily on the task at hand, because you do know you've got bigger fish to fry. But that can go both ways too, because, as you said, this isn't the finalized strongest Kangaroos lineup. So for a few players that are on the fringe, they want to state their case and they're going to play as hard as they can, because all of these players really want to be in the 13 and at least in the 17 in that semi-final and, of course, in the World Cup final should they get there. So that means that you could have the favourite here with the players that are very determined and are going to play hard, highly focused on the job for 80 minutes. Now, my take on the lineup is, okay, we don't know exactly the inner workings. Like, is it possible Cleary has some sort of minor injury complaint? That's why he's on the bench. And then we're all saying, oh, Mal's crazy, but maybe he knows something we don't. And the other thing is, could they still change the lineup between now and kickoff? They still could. So could we all have our knickers in a knot and all argue for a couple of days and say Mal's crazy, and then it could turn out that Cleary starts? So I don't want to go down the rabbit hole too far. But if they are just treating it as a regular game and, all right, we're going to give DCE one more chance, like we all know Cleary's going to be a halfback for 80 minutes against New Zealand if he's fit to go. My one question is, are we worried about missing out on opportunities to get build repetitions between players like Cameron Munster and Nathan Cleary? And who is our first choice hooker? You know, is it starting with Ben Hunt and going to Grant? Because Hunt's not involved in this game. You know, combinations with Teddy, with your centers, with your lock. Who is your lock? Is it Yo? Is it Murray? They're all good players. But what if we're playing New Zealand next week and the game's on the line and we're down two, we're down four, we've got to come up with a try? Do we wish that we had more matches and more games under the belt of our key players playing together? Maybe it doesn't matter, because maybe Australia, they will overwhelm Lebanon. They will win this game very well. Maybe they will over New Zealand as well. And then no one can really question Mal's madness if the Aussies come home with the cup and win every game convincingly. But they are setting themselves up to be under a lot of scrutiny if they don't get the result next week. And that's what it's all about for next week. Now, looking at Lebanon, Clarkey, I mentioned Jacob Carraz. He didn't play in that final group game. Don't know if you have any word or if the Lebanon team has been named and whether he's going to be back, because he's an important spark plug for the Lebanese. I'm not sure if I've still got Clarkey there. Seems like he's got a very pensive look on his face and he's possibly frozen. So we'll hold that thought. If anyone else knows about Jacob Carraz's status, they can let us know. Clarkey's had a blackout. So Clarkey will probably rejoin us in a few minutes. So let us know if you know. And let us know your thoughts as well on the Australian lineup, what you reckon. But my other thinking about Lebanon is that their opponents in this World Cup have progressively gotten easier. They got that tough match to begin the World Cup, going up against New Zealand, only losing by 20 points and having Adam Dewey sent off in that one. Then the next week they played Ireland, which was an easier task than NZ, and then last week they played Jamaica. And I think that's allowed the Lebanese to build up and build confidence and not spend too much energy. And they're going to be able to throw the kitchen sink at the Aussies in this one, because they got nothing to lose. So that's my thinking with the Lebanese. But I would, if anything, I would still suggest that because the Aussies all want to put their best foot forward, that they're going to play strong for 80, and they probably will score a bunch of points in the back end of this game. And I think that the Australians will probably cover that line if I had to go with the line. Now, Clarkey said his computer's failed on him, so he's going to do the old turn it off, turn it on again. So Clarkey will be back momentarily. Ocho is saying Carraz is under an injury cloud. So if you're taking Lebanon, you know, they didn't miss Carraz against Jamaica, but they will certainly miss what he offers at fullback against the Aussies. Although they did definitely welcome having Dwayne back from his suspension last week. And they've just got a little bit of that edge. They've been a pretty impressive side, Lebanon. And in fact, I said before, I told a lie, I said PNG is the only side that's covered the line every game, but Lebanon is the same. They covered the big line against New Zealand, and then they covered the line against Jamaica and also Ireland. Let's move to New Zealand, Fiji. I reckon Clarkey will rejoin us any second, and I will share my thoughts first of all on that one. New Zealand are a 30.5-point favourite against Fiji, and the next game we're going to talk about is going to be England Oh, sorry, England PNG is actually the next one we'll do. So that's also that's earlier game on Sunday morning, and England are a 22.5-point favourite. And I said before that PNG has been one of the best sides that you could bet on all tournament, but England has looked very impressive as well. If you watched England play Greece, they had 94 points in that game. They genuinely were threatening scoring 100 points. So they're looking at this game as a perfect tune-up. The winner of this one is going to play the winner of Samoa Tonga. And the great thing about PNG as an opponent for England is that PNG's got the physicality and professionalism kind of those other top five sides. So you can get tuned up in that regard, but they just don't have the polish of those other five sides, as Clarky might be back now. G'day, mate. We got you back there?
Back now. Sorry, I had a the power cut out.
That's all right. That happens. So we've gone through. I shared my thoughts on Kangaroos Lebanon. I've now just rolled into England PNG. So I'll actually throw it straight to you with your thoughts on this one, England minus 22.5.
My first thought is, and I think everyone knows this one, I love PNG and it'd be awesome to see them win this game. But I do have to be realistic here. And for what I've seen from England so far this World Cup, it is impossible for me to tip anyone but them in this game. England, I mean, they had a 54-point win over Samoa, 24 over France, but then they finished off with a 90-point win over Greece. For PNG, it was a tight loss to Tonga, only losing by 6. And then they rebounded with a 16-point win over Cook Islands and a 36-point win over Wales, I believe it was. It was a 16-point win rather there. But for me, England haven't shown any signs of slowing up in this World Cup. You could argue the France game, they weren't at their best, but outside of that, and even then, it was still a dominant win, larger than this margin here. England have just been so professional about what they've done. We've already spoken about all the advantages they have, the biggest one being that it is in their home country. And so that minus 22 line, I do think that's a very achievable score there for England. I'd love to see PNG keep it within that. I think if you are a PNG punter and you do believe in PNG here, you could probably pick your own line and give them a little bit more insurance on top of that 22.5 if you really wanted to. I've got England winning. I think they will cover that 22.5-point line. I think they'll only just do it, maybe by 26-30 margin. I think PNG will have so much passion that that will keep them in this contest for the full 80. But yeah, ultimately, Winnie, I've got to go with England here and I've got to say that they can achieve that line.
You know, just one other thought on England. I'm kicking myself because pre-tournament, I bet Tommy Makinson for top try scorer, thinking that I like the English pathways. Well, I went the wrong winger. I thought Makinson was more secure and I thought the other wing spot was up for grabs between Dom Young and maybe Ryan Hall. In the end, Dom Young has been the one that's played all three games on that right wing, leads the competition. I think he's got 8 tries in the 3 matches. Makinson's got 2 or 3 tries, but been in and out of the team, didn't play in the second game, hasn't played on the wing all of the time. Ryan Hall's nabbed a bunch of the left-wing tries as well. So Dom Young's got a real chance of taking that out. And pre-tournament, he was about 15-1, and I went 17s with Makinson, but that might end up costing me there. Another player I want to ask you about, because if you want to back England in this one and you think they're going to cover the line, Victor Radley has been one of their best at lock. Now, he's got this elbow or shoulder injury. Do you know, or are we just going to have to wait and see if he's going to line up for England? Because I feel like if he's 50-50, they could probably sit him out, still get through. And most importantly for them is that he's available in the semi-final.
Yeah, England still haven't named their lineup. That's what I was checking there. The last I've seen on this, the NRL physio is saying that if it's just a true sprain, then it's usually 1 to 3 weeks weeks recovery. But he believes we would see him play this game against PNG. However, if there is a fracture present in that elbow injury, then he would be ruled out for the rest of the tournament. England have been pretty tight guarded on this injury and the result of that scan. I haven't seen them anywhere yet. Maybe they're being tight guarded because, one, they don't want PNG to know if he's in the team list, or maybe it is something bad and that's why they're keeping it tight guarded also. I don't know. I can't speak to it. I can only give the last update, and that was provided by the NRL physio.
Yeah, okay. So it's one to monitor. Like, if you like England, you certainly want to hear the news that Radley's in. And if you do hear that news, you might be inclined to jump on that line in case it shifts out. And or if you hear that he's ruled out, that might shift you towards liking PNG. Myself, I'm with you. I think the English ultimately will have too much class. And I'm looking, especially second half, could run away with a good score, as great as PNG have been in the first three games in this competition. And they were probably in the toughest, most competitive group. At some point, teams may run out of steam. England's that little bit deeper. The home conditions favour them. They've showed that they've been so well prepared for this tournament. And I think that they're going to, tune up well for the all-important semi-final. And I think they're going to look good yet again in the quarter-final. Moving to Sunday morning Aussie time, New Zealand plays Fiji. New Zealand are a 30.5 point favourite. Do you reckon they're going to cover that one, Clarkie? Because the Kiwis have not covered a single line in this World Cup so far. If you back them each week with the line, you'd be 0-3.
Yeah, they just haven't really clicked this World Cup. And realistically, for what we expect of New Zealand, I know people are probably going to think this is my bias Aussie coming out, but I think they've been underwhelming. I thought they were capable of beating Jamaica genuinely by like 100 points. I thought that every single game, and particularly this stat that I've got to point out, 12 from 23 in goal kicking from their last two games. That's a 53% goal kicking rate. I mean, you will beat Jamaica. You will beat Fiji. You will beat Ireland. You will beat these sides with that goal kicking percentage, but you will not beat England. And you will not beat Australia if you're kicking at 53%. I mean, kicking at 53%, it's just horrible. I mean, it's literally a flip of the coin as to whether you're going to convert it or not. And in reality, it's not actually a flip of the coin, because most of those goals were in front or slightly to the left of the posts. And so majority that were from a sideline conversion, and we've seen they like to score through wingers, take Dallin Watene Zalesniak scoring four, they miss those goals. And so I think that's a really big concern for New Zealand. Michael Maguire didn't seem too fazed post-match against Ireland. He said, it's just something we'll work on. It'll be fine. But if you are genuinely kicking at 53%, in my opinion, that is not something you can fix in a week of footy. You can improve, maybe get it to 60%, 70%, but you will not have it anywhere up near the 85% that Nathan Cleary has averaged across his career, for example. But in saying that, New Zealand, I mean, 22-point win over Lebanon, 62 over Jamaica, and 38-point win over Ireland. It's not like they've been poor. We just have a very high, lofty standards for them. On the other side of that coin, Fiji, a 34-point loss to Australia. Then they rebounded with a 56-point win over Italy, and then a 16-point win over Scotland there. With Jerome Hughes back, Winnie, and this is the biggest point for me, they looked a better side. He had his hand in everything. Just like he does at the Melbourne Storm, he had that connection with Brandon Smith because they've played together, and it just looked smooth. Everything looked really smooth, rather. Another component of this, and ultimately this is the reason why I will tip New Zealand at that line of, I've done it again, of minus 30.5. Fiji eliminated them in the 2017 World Cup, and that was at Mount Smart Stadium, I believe. And so there's an element here of not only revenge, but redemption. New Zealand should have won that game in 2017. They didn't. This is their chance to right that wrong. They are riding confidence, having won all three this World Cup. And with Jerome Hughes back, I think those three factors do lead me to tipping New Zealand here, covering that line of 30.5.
That's the big thing you mentioned. Jerome Hughes, but Dylan Brown as well. We've got a first look at them in the halves. And boy, New Zealand looked pretty good. And to be fair, the only reason they didn't cover the line against Ireland was goal kicking, which I had a note as well. And Ireland scored two tries in that game. One was a 40-meter intercept try, and the other was Mulitalo tackled in his own in goal for some reason, tried to offload, handed a try straight to the Irish. So other than that, New Zealand were totally comprehensive. And, you know, people might be saying, oh, yeah, but goal kicking, half of those kicks are by Foran, and he's not in the halves. But it didn't get any better last week with Rapana and Brown both having a go, and they were just as poor. And it's not going to cost them this week, but it may still cost them covering the line. So it's a real factor. It's a reason why I will actually lean to Fiji. I have a feeling everyone knows Tonga Samoa is going to be unreal. Next game we're going to talk about. The other three, there's three powerhouses, the Aussies, the English and New Zealand, and we both agree they're going to progress those sides. People are probably looking at PNG, if anyone, that can make it an interesting game. I have a feeling Fiji could get closer to New Zealand than PNG gets to England. And I know a lot of people in the comments disagree, and I know there's a lot of passionate PNG followers, and that's cool, and we'll see how we go. Best luck. But I think Fiji has a legit forward pack that you need to match it with New Zealand. Warrior Hargraves is another key player that's under injury cloud, because I thought he might have had a hamstring complaint. Again, if you're doubtful, you don't play this week because it's all about next week, and because these big sides like New Zealand, they can still get by without a key player or two. And it's the exact same point you made about the Kangaroos a couple games earlier. These Kiwis know their grand final essentially is next week. So do they have one eye on next week? So again, how does that affect the way they play this week? I kind of see New Zealand maybe playing it safe, just wanting to complete at a high level, wanting to get their defensive fundamentals in place. That's the identity of a Michael Maguire coach side. That's why I think that Fiji, who has looked pretty impressive, and even were not disgraced when they played the Aussies, I think Fiji can be competitive in this one. So I lean towards the start with Fiji. And again, I've got a mixed matchup coming up. I've kind of told you which way I lean in each game so far. I'm going to build that all into a bet that's going to work in all four matches. But what do you reckon, Clarkie? Shall we move to the blockbuster of the weekend? Because we've had a World Cup full of blowouts. Last couple of weeks, nearly all blowouts. Maybe Australia, England and New Zealand blow out their opponents in the quarterfinals. But then we could potentially get four barn burners to end the World Cup, starting with Tonga, Samoa this weekend, Monday morning Australian time. And then leading into two semi-finals and, of course, the World Cup final. But the match we want to talk about this week is Tonga, Samoa, Monday morning, Tonga, -4.5-point favourites on Top Sport. And I'll give you the floor, Clarkie. What do you like about this matchup and who do you favour?
Well, needless to say, this is the highlight of every single sporting event this weekend, I believe. There's some good boxing cards on. There's some UFC. There's some other Rugby League World Cup. It doesn't matter. This is going to be the highlight because this is a rivalry that goes back to 950 AD between these two nations. This is a very fierce rivalry built on passion, wanting to perform their absolute best for their nation. Tonga, a 6-point win over PNG. They then followed that with a 24-point win over Wales. And they closed out their tournament with an 82-point win over Cook Islands. For Samoa, they had a big loss to England by 54 to open the World Cup. They then had a 68-point win over Greece and a 58-point win over France. For me, and well, maybe not for me, but also for the odds, this is the biggest 50-50 of this World Cup so far. I'm going to take Tonga at -4.5. I'm going to take them at that line just on the basis of consistency. And I know it's tough to really evaluate that because we have only seen three games from both of these sides. But Tonga probably have been a little bit more consistent than Samoa. And in a real test against England, unfortunately, I have to say Samoa did not perform. You could go as far as to say they folded. They really did not show much at all in that game. Whereas for Tonga, they weren't at their best in the first two games, but they've at least consistently built and improved through the tournament. And so you can argue with that, that Tonga do have more momentum coming into this game against Samoa. I think they probably have a little bit more of an experienced and skillful lineup than Samoa across the park, that is. But there's certainly some key matchups in this that is just sensational footy. But as I said last week, with Jason Tamalolo back for Tonga, that is sort of the confidence and the glue that really holds their side together. I thought that would see their best football return. You can argue it did, an 82-point win against Cook Islands. And I do think they will take that wave of momentum and the way they've slowly built over this World Cup into this Samoa game. And I think they will cover the line of 4.5, but I'm still going to tip them 1-12. I think this will be a very, very close game. And I think Samoa will be right in this one.
You know, I had to just quickly check back because you reminded me on the previous matchup, New Zealand-Fiji. That's right. Fiji beat New Zealand in the quarterfinal. I had forgotten that game, 4-2. Now that I think back, I'm pretty sure it was pouring rain, but that was crazy. New Zealand were not themselves in that tournament. They'd already rattled because I believe they were already beaten by Tonga in the group stage. But that's right. Fiji beat New Zealand 4-2. So they will be up for revenge. But turning our attention to this one, you're right. Tonga's definitely looked the more impressive side. And I will say, for me, they are rightfully the favourites in this one. They should be the favourites. And in fact, I couldn't tip against them. You know, just several factors that I'll get to. But for one, I was watching the press conference for Samoa after their massive win over France. And there's something about Parrish that I don't like his vibe. He's coming off really sassy against the reporters and, you know, I don't know, like trying to say that because they'd had a couple of big wins, it proved that that what they were doing was right and it justified the result against England. There's just something not quite right there in his attitude. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, you just feel like, yeah, there isn't this confidence and resolve necessarily and leadership that you'd like to see ahead of such a massive match. Now, pre-tournament, I did predict this would be the quarterfinal, but I thought pre-tournament that Samoa was the stronger side, so I had them progressing. But having watched, obviously, three matches of each during the group stage, I don't feel the same way anymore. And you talk about Taumalolo, he's a huge boost for Tonga. And while on paper, Samoa is stronger, like I'm just watching them, this is just my opinion. I'd love to hear what everyone else thinks and who they're backing in this one. But like on paper, you know, Suaalii at fullback, Crichton in the centres, Jerome Luai in the halves, these are all Origin caliber players that Tonga doesn't quite have in their key positions. But I don't feel like any of these players have been at their top of their game so far in this World Cup. And I'm actually looked at the playmakers on Tonga and I could get more excitement and I feel like they're going to produce more consistently. I'm looking at Tui Lolohea, who's a veteran at this point, Junior Moan, who sometimes comes off the bench, Sonny Luke, this really talented hooker who's going to be the new Panthers full-time hooker, Isaiah Katoa, which is exciting news for Dolphins fans. You know, Tessie New has come in and looked really good, played fullback last week. They got Kola as well. And then the forward pack is stacked. I will go as far to say Tonga has the stronger forward pack than Samoa as well. And, you know, they put 92 points on the Cook Islands, and that Cook Islands is a respectable side that's got several first graders in it as well. And I know that in the third game of group stages, some teams have kind of packed it in and are ready to go home. But nevertheless, the Tongan side looked red hot. So, look, it can go either way. I'm going to actually tip Tonga -3.5, which is on Sportsbet at $1.90. So we talk about how not every bookie has the exact same line. So get the best of it, because maybe Tonga wins this game by 4. And if you took +4.5, you win with, you know, with Toppy or whatever. And if you take the -3.5 with Tonga, it could be close. But for me, yeah, they're the more complete side that I trust right now. If Samoa pulls the upset, it probably is someone like Suaalii, Crichton, Luai that has a moment of brilliance. But they haven't proven it to me. So that's the direction I'm going. I'll try and put up some more of your comments. But any more thoughts or any other kind of parts of the matchup that you wanted to pinpoint, Clarkie?
Well, going back to Matt Parrish, and I ultimately do think Samoa will lose here and it'll be the end of their Rugby League World Cup. But I think it's a good thing for Samoa, and I know people think that's a crazy statement, so let me add some more to that. Matt Parrish, since coaching Samoa, has had 22 games. He's only won 9 of those. And those 9 have been against really inferior sides, such as a Greece, that they're just smashing. There's not too much of a competition there. So that equates to a 41% win rate. Now, we go back to the start of this World Cup. Samoa had an offer for the Johns brothers and Sonny Bill Williams to coach them for free. Matt Parrish, it's not as if we're talking about a dude with an extensive coaching career. Outside of Samoa, he's coached 6 professional games and he won 1 of them for Salford in the Super League. In 2011, 11 years ago. You know, if it was Wayne Bennett we're talking about replacing, then yeah, I'd have serious concerns. Okay, maybe the Johns brothers aren't as experienced and neither is Sonny Bill Williams, so I'd stick with Bennett. But we're talking about a guy that, Winnie, he's won 1 game professionally outside of Samoa as a coach. There's just no reason to keep this guy here. You go back to the 2013 and 17 World Cup. Several Samoan players refused to play for the nation and said that he didn't respect their culture. He didn't give them time to participate in cultural activities, etc., which to me is just toxic. It screams toxicity. As you said, a reporter, genuine Winnie, genuine as you like. This is a State of Origin type matchup. We can't wait. And he had a go at the reporter. He snapped and said, "Fair dinkum, how dare you say that? How dare you compare this?" I think that's the greatest compliment you could get in footy, to have your game compared to a State of Origin. And so I think this guy's toxic. I think Samoa will lose. I think he'll be sacked. And I think that Samoa will continue to build. They've got so many young players, a lot of them at the Panthers, that will continue to build that chemistry. And so when we roll around to the next World Cup 3 years from now, they'll be in a much better place with coaches that are experienced and are genuinely looking at Samoa, comparing them to the other Pacific Island nations. And as you said, saying, "Hey, we've got some pretty good players in key positions here. There's a lot of potential. I'm putting my hand up to coach Samoa." So they'll lose this one, Winnie, I think, but it will actually set them up for the future, all coming off the back of Matt Parrish hopefully being sacked.
Now, and having said all that, like, we still respect the ability of the Samoa team. They could still very well pull the upset, and then we'd have to kind of walk it back a little bit, because what happens if Samoa is playing England next week? And they would have a chance. Like, they've got the talent that they could threaten England, like, despite what the score was in that opening game of the World Cup where Samoa was not ready. I'm not tipping Tonga in this one because of what I saw from Samoa in that first game. I understand that they were so underdone. I've watched them, and I've been happy with how they've improved, and I've been impressed by how they've looked in the last couple of games. But for me, it's just Tonga is that next level above, and we've got that question mark over the coaching and leadership with Samoa, which you don't want. A possible detraction, whether or not it will be, that remains to be seen. Some heaps of comments coming through, which we appreciate. Now, Red Sea commented that, like, Tonga's got several Origin caliber players as well, Kafusi, Fifita, Tupou. I wasn't saying Samoa's the only one with Origin players. For me, I was just saying, like, you've got to play it in your halves, your fullback. You know, Swatley didn't quite play Origin, but we know he will for years to come. Crichton, who is a key position kind of playmaker, a centre that also roams and touches the ball a lot. So I'm just talking about kind of in your spine or in your key positions. I feel like Samoa on paper has the higher level of class. Both these sides are stacked with players that have either played Origin or are on the level to do so. You know, a guy like Kalon Mutungi hasn't actually played Origin yet, but I consider him an Origin caliber player, and I'm sure the Blues will look closely at picking a guy like him. So, look, both these rosters are stacked with talent, and for me, I think that Tonga is the more cohesive unit. That could be the difference. If one score decides this, I think Tonga gets home. And it's going to feed into our mixed matchup this week, which, as I've teased a few times, is going to incorporate all four games. Slightly confusing, just to make it a 50-50. This is how the conditions had to be. So listen up, guys. I'll put it on the screen now. Okay. The combined score, the two sides that we're taking, is Australia and England, but it's the Australian second half only against Lebanon, because Australia is such a big favourite there. So you take the number of points scored by Australia in the second half, you add that to the number of points scored by England against PNG, and I'm tipping that that's going to be more than the total points scored by New Zealand and Samoa. So I've made the case, Australia players fighting for positions, even though it's not their strongest positions in 1 to 13 this week, I think because they're going to fight for the 80, I think Aussies will score 4 or 5 or 6 tries in the second half against Lebanon. Like, England should just be too classy over PNG. I think Fiji can push New Zealand. Maybe they still go down by 2 or 3 converted tries, but New Zealand's got that issue with goal kicking, and they'll be looking ahead to the Australia game. And then we both like Tonga, so we don't think Samoa will score a lot of points in this game. That's a 50-50, so $2 odds on Toppy. You can have up to 200 on that. Use the code TRIPOD if you want a Top Sport account. We've won every single one of these so far this tournament. Let us know if you like it. Clarkie, any thoughts on that one, or you can have the last word on this pod as we look ahead to the knockout stages?
No, I like that bet. I think it's really, really good. One final thought I'd probably add to the Samoa game that I had while you were speaking there is I look at England, a full-time squad of professional players. Greece, only one consistent NRL player in Lachlan Ilias. And France, no NRL players, but they do have a lot of Super League or their first tier nation over there, at least. But the thing is, Tonga's whole team, relatively, are all Super League or NRL players. And so the form that Samoa showed when they approved against Greece, I got to take into account that they were only versing one full-time NRL player. Here, they'll be versing a full-time team of 17 NRL Super League players. And so to close out the show, I probably really would emphasize with what you said, the 3.5 on Sportsbet, -3.5 for Tonga, that is. That is probably my best bet of the week and the one that I'm most keen on.
Well, there you go. We both agree. Let us know what you guys think, because that's certainly a game where there's positions, opinions are going to be divided, and that's why we can't wait to watch it. I don't know if it's a good or bad thing that that's the Monday morning. So that's the one game that's not part of the weekend, but that's worth getting up early before work and checking out in full, that's for sure. Enjoy the games, guys. If you're having a punt, do it responsibly. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Clarkie, for joining me again this week, despite, you know, a couple of technical difficulties in the end. And we'll be back to do it all again in 7 days' time, when we'll be looking ahead to the semi-finals of the World Cup. So have a great week. Until then, guys, we'll talk again soon. Lego.